Isn't it amazing? Everything that you say to him, he says back to you. I love you. I love you. No, I love you, Lord. No. I want you to know I love you, son. I love you. I love you. I really do love you. I've fallen in love with you. You've fallen in love with me. But I love you before you love me. I just love you. I'm full of love for you. I'm excited about the amount of love I have for you. I take great joy in loving you. I really do love you. I really do love you. I really do love you. Feels good, doesn't it? That you're loved. That you're really, really loved. There may be a lot of people that feels as though you're unlovable. But it never crossed his mind. Never crossed his heart. He just loves you. Wow. And with all of his heart, all of his might, all of his strength, he lives to love you. Created you. Planned your whole life. Not only your whole life, but he planned your whole eternity just to show you how much he loves you. Awesome. Awesome. Beyond awesome. He just really, 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 really loves you. Well, I have to go pretty slow this morning because I want to be sure I don't get 1 degree off. Sarah, could you come up? Ever since the entire group of Tennessee came here this week, I have no idea what the Lord's doing in Tennessee. No idea. But when you walked in and I was up there, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit catches you by surprise and you're wondering, what? You know. Then there's been about 3 or 4 events this weekend that has come up that Tennessee was always mentioned. And so I think I'm really going to just ask you to share what's ever on your heart. And then we'll take the next step. The most recent event that caused this was when I was coming to church this morning. It came up again. Yeah, it's on.
It's on, okay. Anybody here cold? Because let me tell you something. This thing is magic. As soon as he handed it to me, I warmed right up. My blood is moving faster than it's moved in quite some time. And my heart is pounding really hard. So, Tennessee, wow. My heart for Tennessee and what I see God doing, you see Him doing here. And what we're hearing in our prayer closet, you're hearing here. And the most incredible thing to me is to find out that my God is a God all over the place. And that what He'll say to one, He'll say to another. Just to let us know how much He loves us and how connected we are and how we really are moving and growing and going with Him. Just like others who are following and going and growing, we're moving in the same direction. I can't begin to tell you how exciting it is to bring new people in, new people close, and new people to hear and to share what who God is and how to know Him on purpose, because somebody took the time to teach us the truth and how to know God on purpose, just simply because we want to know God, because I'm willing to make that journey. When I said thank you the other night, I meant it. Because I was on a road of religion, and I was on a path of death, and I was dying. My children were dying. They were going to be lost. My family was going to be lost in religion and in how things are done in a church. And my heart, Linda shared a word that Gary shared with us on Wednesday night about God putting the hook in our jaw for truth. And God had put a hook in my jaw for truth. And I began to cry out, God, please set me free, set me free, set me free. And He did. He is doing it even more so. And it's becoming such a firm foundation and such a mighty walk. And God is walking us out. He's moving, and He's moving us, and we're growing, and we are going from one level to another. And to pull this particular group of people that we brought in here, what an honor it was to come and present them before my pastor and say, please pray for them. Pastor Steve is the most honorable man. When I gave my life to Jesus, and I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know anything about anything. And then the Lord came to me, and He ministered to me, and He set me free from some dark places. And God put me on in Pastor Steve's path, and He baptized me 22 years ago. And I went home, and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I don't know, for some reason, it put a special place in my heart for that man. And so I wanted to share him, to share what I've learned about the walk of the Spirit with Pastor Steve when I saw him again 20 years later. He moved away. He was gone a long time. And I dared anybody to give him that book. I dared anybody to say anything to him about that. I dared them. That was my responsibility, and that was my honor, and I got to do it. And so what I'm seeing happen in Tennessee is that there's life returning to the people that I love. There's hope returning that God still loves them. And He still knows who they are and where they are. And He is pulling them too. I don't know if you've ever... I know you all have had the joy of someone that you love waking up. I have to tell you, I've been here many, many years. And it's an honor to bring my husband for the first time. It's an honor every time I bring my children here. It's an honor every time they want to come. It's an honor to come here and take what's happening here back to Tennessee. A couple years ago, we prayed that the drought be broken. We're like 9 inches over our regular water table now. What an honor it is to come here. You guys, what an honor it is. Oh, please don't take it lightly. Please don't take it lightly. Please don't take it lightly. What an honor it is to come and see each and every one of you again. We get so excited to see you all. We're so excited to be here, to come back. What an honor it is. Thank you. Thank you so much. For being of receiving us so warmly, receiving our friends so warmly. They did not go home disappointed. They did not go home disappointed. Thank you so much. I know God has plans for where we are. And we're part of it. You're part of it. It's so awesome that we're going to share in the fruit and the reward of what's happening in the earth. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? Isn't that an awesome thing? Can you imagine when you get to heaven? Can you imagine? I can't imagine this. I think about it so much. When we get to heaven and we get, we think conference is a family reunion? I can't wait. Pastor Steve's been so gracious. We don't go to his church. Still, he gave us, Deborah and I, both a key to his church. And he's allowed us to pray in his church for 2.5 years. They don't bother us. They rearrange their schedule for us. All but the cleaning lady. It was such an honor. Thank you so much. We're going to have revival in Tennessee. We're going to have it. We're after it. God has shown it to me. We've seen it. We know it. We've carried it a long time. And those people were part of it. We know that. So thank you so much.
If I was that pastor and I wanted to stay out of the river, I'd lock the doors and not let them back in. I have a friend who part of an intercessors group pretty much worldwide, and they called a meeting in another state and they didn't have a facility. And they found a facility, and it was a Lutheran church. And they allowed the group of people to come, and the group of people was there. I believe it began Wednesday night, all day Thursday, all day Friday, and closed on noon on Saturday. When Sunday service come along, all of the intercessors had left. People walked in the building and got healed, just like that. And I'm talking, what do we call them? Notable miracles. Blind eyes, deaf ears. And it lingered there for about 4 or 5 days. When we were in India and went to a place behind this establishment that we were in, they were wanted to show us their work and have Dave pray over them or their business. And behind the establishment was the cave that they had executed Thomas in, I believe, way back whenever. And still to this day, there's manifestations of healing when certain people go in there and get healed. So you're doing more damage than you know what. Oh boy. Let's turn to Ephesians. Where else? Do you feel his presence in a different way this morning? There's something that's changed. Changed about 2 weeks ago. But when all of you who volunteered cleaned this place up, cleaned his house up, it's absolutely amazing. I came in early, about 5 in the morning. I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was Friday. You know, and there's always been a draw to prayer here. But I felt a sense or a knowing of holiness. And I seen someone using a sweeper over there, going all along the cracks to get up all of the, what do you call it, roly-polies, you know, those little things that, you know, that kids love to play with, and we step on them. And everything that has been done, and I really believe in the realm of the Spirit, He honored all your hard work. So if you're here this morning, thank you. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5. And I'd like to go back to the beginning. It was right after the first of the year. It actually begun before the first of the year. But it was right after the first of the year that Gary had either a vision or a dream. And he woke up and the Lord said, Ephesians 5:14. But it was at the beginning of the year that Dave actually heard that he was to begin to walk a more narrow path, not a more narrow path as far as no longer sinning, but there's a narrow path within a narrow path within a narrow path. Keep your eyes on Jesus for sure, but also for Him to be able to keep His eyes on you for the call that you have on your life. Derek has two pictures that he found somewhere on the internet, and one of the pictures, which I believe is his favorite, it's not mine, but it's his, and it's a picture of a ship that is in a storm, and it is a ship that has a smokestack, and you can see the smokestack coming out, knowing that you're in a storm, and that it was going totally against the storm into the port that it was headed. The other picture he has shown us is a picture of a horse, and all you can see is his head, but he has these blinders on so that he can't see to the left or he can't see to the right. He can only see straight ahead. Well, that's where the Lord is taking Dave into everything that the Lord's called him to do. But it's becoming narrower and narrower and narrower. So with that in mind and in heart, the Lord began to bring forth Gary in the teaching of Ephesians. I wish that the Holy Spirit would have chose anything else other than war. I've looked back through all of the prophecies since 93, and very seldom has the Lord ever used for this body the word authority. And almost never has He ever used the word war. But since the first of the year, He has changed His mind, or He has been able to anoint our ears to hear what He has to say about authority and about war, and it's all in Ephesians. And so that season came at the beginning of the year, and Gary received Ephesians 5:14, which I'll read. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And his first commandment, after you awake out of sleep and you begin to walk in light that he brings, his first commandment is what? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I don't know how you have planned your life and how you spend your time, but it is not something that you do not have to fight for to redeem your time. It's being stolen from us all the time. How many of you feel as though you don't have enough time? Probably I should say, let me see the hands of people that think they have all the time they need. Oh, okay. 100%, I don't have enough time. I'm going to talk a little bit about redeeming the time, I think. I think the very first aspect of redeeming the time, you want to write this down, is spend as much time as you possibly can with eternity in mind. Spend as much time as you possibly can with eternity in mind. It is a great plumb line as to how you're spending your time. You were talking about seeing revival. Leah has lived with me now for 49 years. Pray for her. But in many cases, it seems like what I'm thinking about and what I'm sharing, it's almost like she could say, I'm no earthly good because I'm not here. When I hear your testimony this morning and know how much freedom it'll bring to the world if we use media and we fulfill our call, it's staggering. How many times did you use the word truth? Truth. Truth. I was in religion. Truth. Truth. Besides that, you're a lady. You're a mother. It's phenomenal. I talked to Dave about media and where we're headed and the responsibility that the Lord has given us. And we're riding in a 1987 Honda that does not have air conditioning. And it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And if anybody else was listening other than the Holy Spirit, they would really believe we were crazy. And that's a real problem. It's a major problem. Because most of those people that you love the most, that you want to see walk this walk, the enemy has kept almost exclusively all the proof of this walk from their eyes because there's been very little manifestation. But the time of hiddenness is over, and we will begin to walk into the time of manifestation if, in fact, we redeem the time. And if, in fact, we follow what's been taught and what is in Ephesians. When the Lord said, read Ephesians minimum of 30 times. We're now in the 1st of September, so we're 8 months in, and Gary is unable to teach anything besides Ephesians. Every prophecy that has come forth from the pulpit and behind the pulpit, every prophecy that is coming from the body, you can go to Ephesians and find the root or the confirmation, the second witness and the third witness within Ephesians. For us, the single-mindedness is the Lord has nothing else on his mind. And when I hear someone says, oh yeah, I read Ephesians, but now I'm reading this, this, and this, I understand they're not part of the 300. I need to be careful. I need to be careful. First of the year, the Lord also said, I'm going to begin to show you the 300, and I'm going to leave the 3,000. Gary's message a couple weeks ago about God is so absolutely pleased with the 5,000 and the 500, or a little over 400 that were in the upper room, and then it went down to 120. And how many times did the Lord interrupt him and say, I'm very, very, very pleased with the 500. I'm very, very pleased. There is no condemnation. And then the Lord would say, but I'm talking about disciples. I'm that this is meat. And if, how did he say it? If you have just received the Lord recently, I feel sorry for you if you're listening to this tape or listening to this message. How many times has the Lord said the fast will go faster and the slow will go slower? When he says something like that, and the enemy comes, if you understand it, and if you meditate on it, and you continually keep eternity in mind, more and more revelation knowledge comes. The short-sightedness in all of our eyes. No, let's talk about me. When he first said, the fast will go faster and the slow will go slower, you immediately go out there somewhere. And then you come in here to yourself and say, okay, I want to be part of the fast group. But since the first of the year, I never realized that it was going to divide families. I never realized that it was going to divide a spouse from the other spouse. I couldn't even imagine it or didn't even think about it, that the battle that's going on right at the present time is that if one spouse has chose to be part of the fast group and the other spouse has chose to be part of the slow group, there is a division that is being developed. And it's grieving. It's whether you're going to continue. And how many years ago it was that the Lord told Dave that if you really hate your family, you will love them more than you love me. I don't know how many years ago that was. But clear back then, the Holy Spirit was showing us and directing us as to where we were coming to here, that the slow will go slower and the fast will go faster. He recently had a present day speaking, or you would call it a word, that he said he was very, very pleased with the fast group. Very pleased. Because we had left them in his hands where he said they would be. and that you are continually to win your race, and you're no longer to stop and pick them up, etc. Okay, or you won't finish your race. Okay, he most recently said that he was going to be able to bring the slow group into the fast group based on the authority that you are walking in. Can you imagine that? That the authority that we have, that he wants us to possess, not see there, but possess it, that amount of authority is able to bring the slow group into the fast group, and you'll have everything that you want. It's amazing. Okay. Redeeming the time. If you're not still reading Ephesians, I'd read Ephesians. It's the only, other than the foundation that he's given us, and the things that he has said as far as the message of fellowship, the message that's come to maturity, the only direction that he has given this body, okay, or those that are following this message, is to read Ephesians, to understand your authority. Let's go to Ephesians 4:25. Let me say one more thing. Let me read this and see if you are familiar with this. It also comes from Gary Carpenter's documents. His face-to-face, you're familiar with them. They're out on his website. They're not out on ours yet, but they're going to be. This one is The Works of the Father. Listen to what the Lord said. You've heard me quote this many times before. But if I was going to, and I do, keep a time utilization sheet on my life, and, okay, Lord, what's number one? What's number two? What's number three? You know, what did I do in the last half an hour? Did I have fellowship with you, etc.? That's all been taught in the past, and it's all out there. This is what the Lord said. If the greatest heart cry of the exalted Son of Man could be heard upon the earth today, it would be this. Oh, that my brethren would sit, listen, and hearken to the counsel of my Father's Spirit as he brings my mind to them. For his mind is the will of the Father. His mind is made fully known unto the Spirit of truth. The Comforter will take of his and show all things unto his brethren if they will sit, listen, and hearken as the Spirit brings the voice of him who speaks from heaven to the earth. The enemy? I hear you asking of me, what is the mindset of Christ Jesus concerning the enemy? Christ Jesus does not consider wars, pestilence, famine, disease, divisions, factions, greed, witchcraft, murders, and the like to be the finest work of the enemy. He sees all of these things as being byproduct of the enemy's only valid triumph. And that triumph is separating you from the ability to sit and listen and hearken to what he says. How many of you have your own I don't want to embarrass anybody. I won't ask the question. Thank you. I won't ask the question. I will just ask and recommend that if you do not have your own face-to-face journal, if you do not have your own face-to-face communion as he speaks to you, then I'd begin to ask him how to create it. It will not be a 4 or 5 page document the first time. It will be single statements unless you fast start it somehow. I see Bernard sitting there, and I can't pass up this because he's got a yellow shirt on. But it was maybe, I don't know what conference it was, maybe 4 years ago or so. I felt like the Lord was saying I was supposed to have a service. But I don't really enjoy that any time he ever says it, and he knows that. I would much rather take everything that Dave and Gary says and send to the world and have it translated into every known language, etc., etc. But I was supposed to have that service, and so I began to look at possibly what he would have me say. And the first thing he told me was, I want everybody to be quiet for 15 minutes in the service. Whew. That's easy. Gee, I don't have to say a word. Don't have to do anything. I can just sit up there and really be quiet. Holy, this is going to be good. Then I started to realize how foolish that was. Everybody's come here and they want to hear somebody say something. And so I'm supposed to say something. What is Dave going to think? What's Gary going to think? What's Leah going to think above everybody? You know, what's Daisy going to think, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, I've got up enough courage and said, okay, we're going to sit and become still. And we're going to see what the Lord has to say to you individually. To my surprise, beyond my surprise, it was a success. Like anything from the mind of Christ, if you're obedient, is going to be a failure, you know? Okay. There were people that received words. We call them words. They had a one-on-one communion with the Lord that they had never, ever heard his voice. The 15 minutes was not long enough. And they actually left the service and went outside and kept writing. Like what the Holy Spirit had to say was more important than what I was about to say after they left. That's available 24/7. It's really available. All the time. All the time. And for us to win this war, that will be where we have to be standing, to where we hear his voice. We think we're going to do something about that soon in regards to helping people that are unable to hear. But it's all available, continually available. Sit, listen, and hearken. Okay. Let's go to, well, let's start it in Ephesians 4:25. Well, let's go back to another pivotal verse, which is, okay, let's go to Ephesians 4:23. No, I'm going to do something different. Okay. I think Lord wants this said, not necessarily for the tape. Do you know that there are three levels? There may be more than three, but there's three identifiable levels of your relationship with the Lord. The first level is at the level when you just get born again. And that level is, it's all about me. It's all about me. We have a new granddaughter. She's the most beautiful, beautiful child. More beautiful than any child ever in the whole world. They all are. But when we look at her, in essence, she's saying to us, it's all about me. Change me. Feed me. Rock me. Hold me. Pray for me. Etc., etc. It's all about me. It's all about me. Some people that get born again never leave that level. And they be, we won't go there, besides them becoming spoiled, etc., etc., etc. The next level is, it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. Everything's about you. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. You know, you meet all my needs. You know, I pray to you. You take care of everything. It's all about me. Was all about me. Now it's all about you. But the level that he wants us to walk in is, it's all about us. It's all about me and you, you and me. When he first said to us that he needed us more than we needed him, how many of you believed that that was a lie within you? How many did you say, that can't be? That's impossible. No, no. It's all about you. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. No, it's all about us. Ephesians teaching us, it's all about us. When he says, I go to my Father, and greater works are you going to do? Because I go to my Father, and everybody's concerned about what the greater works are? You think you're going to do any greater works than him without him being able to do it through you? It's all about us. The greater works is certainly going to be done, but it's him doing it through you. So it's all about us. Us, the relationship, the authority that he's given us. I think I told Dave this and Gary. Maybe not. I'm more ashamed. Well, how can I say it? On a scale of 1 to 10, the level of authority that I used and walked in was not even on the scale. Because I passed all of the responsibility over to the Lord in prayer. And using your authority is not prayer. Using your authority is knowing you're sitting far above him and that you're in the same room with him and yet you're a joint heir and that you're speaking from that room and you're using your authority. Yes, it's the mind of Christ, and yes, the power of the Holy Spirit does the work, but he needs your voice and he needs your authority to get it done. Okay? And that's not prayer. And once you use the authority, then you can begin to praise him, and that's praise and worship. I thought the Lord was supposed to take care of everything for me. I really did. Well, I know that none of you walked there. You've walked in total authority everywhere, all the time. But it was easy for me to pass the buck. And the trouble was, I was trying to put false responsibility on the Lord. And one thing about the Lord, he is not going to take any false responsibility. Incidentally, how many of your level of peace has increased since the first of the year, since doing Ephesians and praying the Ephesian prayers, etc. Do you know that's one of the greatest keys in getting rid of false responsibility out of your life, is walking in a level of peace? That's what Alan Taylor was trying to do. No, he wasn't trying. He did it superbly when he said, "It's not my problem. It's not my problem. It's just not." And I think it had to do with, it was in November sometime, and they had very little income at the present time. And his wife came to him and said, "You know, Christmas is coming." And she didn't come to him negative. They were just having a family conversation. And he just says, "It's not my problem." Many people, not many, some people wondered, how can he say that? "It's not my problem. Just not my problem." Because he had went to a place that he had already fully used his authority to where he knew it was not his problem. I mean, he had come, we call it a place called done. A place of fulfillment. He had already wrestled through and come to a place where he said, "I've done all that I'm supposed to do. It is the Father's response. No, it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to use his power to take every word I've said about prosperity and about our needs being met, and he's going to take care of it all. So therefore, it's not my problem, nor am I going to take false responsibility to try to make it my problem, because I can't solve it anyway." To be continued. And not next service, incidentally. Boy, we are in for such exciting days. Have you ever had friends like you have now? Just close your eyes a minute. Just think about the friends that you have in your life. Have you ever had friends that you're able to walk in unity without compromise? In body, in soul, and in spirit. And in love. That's also in Ephesians, where every joint supplies. See you in a half an hour.